know you can't meditate. If you a freak, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. It's going down for it.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy Thursday, Mr. Wilhelm.
Happy Thursday to you, too.
Happy Thursday to all of you out there in the dog pound. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here today for Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. We're going to hear some sound from Chris Mortensen talking about the Browns and Johnny Manziel. Later on in today's show, we're going to hear some sound, hopefully, from Randy Starks, made an appearance on SiriusXM NFL Radio. We'll hear from the newest member of the Browns. We'll have defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill live in studio at 1:30 p.m. today. So that's a big interview. Looking forward to talking to him about this defense, the offseason moves. Randy, get his opinions on Randy Starks, Tremont Williams. We will also have, at 2 o'clock today, Vice President of the Cleveland Browns Foundation, Renee Harvey, will be a guest at 2 o'clock talking about everything that the family, the Haslam family has done, the foundation has done, their impact in Cleveland overall, and a look back at the 2014 year and also promoting future events like the foundation golf tournament, which is a heck of a good time. And we, Matt and I, will both be there at that this season. So we got two big guests lined up. Basically, Emmett, do we have that Mort sound to roll into this first segment if we want to? All right, so we'll hear from Chris Mortensen in a moment, but you know, this is the time of the year. Now we're less than a month away from the draft that the official visits are happening. The Browns have already been linked to Danny Shelton, nose tackle Jordan Phillips of Oklahoma, and the big name out there is Devontae Parker, rumored to be making an appearance here at the Browns facility coming up soon. Did you go on any of those
I went on one. I went on one, and this is ironically the fact that I've told this maybe one time on this show. I went to Green Bay about 3 days before the draft.
Okay.
And I thought for sure I was going to end up a Packer. And it was just an opportunity for me to briefly see Lambeau. But they just intently walk you into, you know, meeting after meeting after meeting. And just really want to understand your love for football, your understanding of defense, and more so than anything, how cerebral you are as a football player. And I think what ended up happening is that the Green Bay Packers did, in fact, go linebacker with their first overall pick. I think it was somewhere in the 20s, and they selected Nick Barnett, linebacker out of Oregon State, who spent many years in Green Bay, got a second contract there. And what's funny, and how this business that is the NFL and everything really comes full circle, is Nick Barnett and Brandon Chiller were two of the linebackers that got hurt in that 2010 football season very early, which led the door open for me to get healthy from my injury from the San Francisco 49ers, do a great workout for the Packers, and then, in fact, get signed to replace them on the Packers roster. So they passed on me early, and I ended up getting a ring late with the Packers.
That's how it all comes full circle.
So does.
What happens on those visits? Because people sometimes think they come in and they put you through workouts. They're not allowed to. It's all about more getting to know you as a person, watching tape with you, getting you on the whiteboard, understanding your football acumen, et cetera.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that I believe that every team is limited to the number that they can do, so they just can't fly in whoever they want and do hundreds of prospects. That's what the combine's for.
Yep.
That's what the pro days are for, and so on and so forth, and why representatives are always being sent to those locations. But more so than anything, it's their opportunity, and it's actually an encouraging for you as a player to be on visits, because you now know that for them to use one of their 30 on you, that you're on their radar. You know, you're high on their radar. And in some cases, in going there, for me, that's why I was very aware of where they selected in the first round, where they selected in the second round, that it was a high likelihood that, you know, if I'm their guy, I'm going to be their guy in one of these few spots, which was very, very cool. And, you know, what got me really excited about being a Green Bay Packer early in my career didn't happen. It's all good. You know, dropped into the fourth round, went to San Diego Chargers, which was, an absolute blessing. But, like I said,
better weather.
Yeah, but much better weather.
Much better.
Yeah.
Better
and pool. We won a lot of football games there, too.
I bet you wouldn't have had as many great pool parties.
Definitely not. It would have been, building igloos,
toboggan parties,
yeah. And but what do they call that? When you jump into
the
icy
snowdrift. Oh, jumping in.
It's
dumb.
Yeah, they call it dumb. That's exactly right. Great call there. So and more so than anything, it was meeting with the defensive coordinator, meeting with the position coach, and them, you know, you're only there about 2.5 hours. So they, you know, they spare no expense to fly you in on their schedule. You know, you go in, they bus you over or, you know, shuttle you over to the facility. You sit with maybe a few of the other guys as the Cleveland Browns, as you said, you know, a number of guys are here in these draft meetings and being flown in here for private visits, and they're eating lunch together. So you're with a group of guys, and then just one by one, they pull you in the proper direction to the coaches that they want, that want to see you. And you spend anywhere from 15 to 45 minutes with a position coach, with a defensive coordinator, who essentially are going to be your coaches there in that organization. And they drill you. And the one thing that I remember was going into, it was a luxury suite at the Lambeau that they were using for these, you know, these draft meetings, so that you can kind of oversee the stadium and look in and see where you could potentially maybe see. But and all he did was he had a like a magnetic board, kind of like a whiteboard, but with like a magnetic back. And he had just little like magnets stuck on that were like players. And all he wanted me to do was, as fast as I could, give him every single personnel, you know, via whiteboard, and write them all out and what we called them, and then show him and almost diagram with those magnets exactly what they were. You know, this is 21 personnel, two backs, one tight end, blah, blah, this is what it looks like. And then he goes, go. And then I give him, you know, 11 personnel. And it was like just rapid fire for him to understand how intellectual I was about the game of football when it came to X's and O's.
Did they want to know if you knew your responsibility on a lot of plays in addition to how much you knew the other responsibilities?
Oh, I believe they take for granted the fact that you know yours on any given play. And what I took pride in coming out and why in which my game from my, you know, sophomore and junior seasons at Ohio State to my senior season, and then also too, at a certain point in my NFL career, it's when I understood what all 11 guys were doing and what's happening in front of me and around me, and the communication that has to go on between,
right,
even if it's not pertinent to me, I understand why a corner and a safety are talking about something on a certain formation. That's when my game kicked up to an entirely new level. And that's, you know, to bring it to a Browns head, that's what we're looking for Johnny Manziel, what we're looking for from a guy like Terrence West. Terrence, I know you know your job, but what is Joel Bitonio's job on this play? What is Dwayne Bowe's job on the backside of this play?
Block.
How can he affect this run, this play action? What route is he running? You know, and then that's why in some cases it was so confusing for guys when Kyle Shanahan had those 17-word plays. And to be very honest, I've been in those huddles, both offensively listening to want to learn, and in some cases when you get a little wordy on defense as well. Every guy has a word or series of words that are pertinent to them, and otherwise they're talking to another group. And that was the hard part. So I would think that a guy like Johnny Manziel, who they had to dummy some things down for him and simplify them, to be able to spit out a play and be able to tell you as the quarterback of that football team in that instance, this series of words or this word is for this guy, and that's the reason why. And go boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. And that way, there's, you know, the ins and outs of everything when it comes to the offensive football, and that's what I took pride in understanding, at the ins and outs of everything defensive football.
And that's what they want to see. A lot of it is work on these visits. A lot of it's work on the whiteboard. It's trying to understand who you are as a person, your love of football. There'll be some psych evaluation components to it as well, because they have so much more time. The combine, remember, teams only get 15 minutes with a person.
Yes.
That's it. On these visits, you basically have all day with them.
You do.
And you have unlimited visits to the player's city, no limit of local prospects. So anybody from around the area, the Browns can interview as many times as they want, but they can only bring in 30 guys to the visits, 30 players for these visits. Again, there's no working out. There's no physical activity, but it's about getting to know them, their personality, their love and knowledge of the game of football. Those are the keys for these visits there. All right, we talked about Chris Mortensen. He talked about Johnny Manziel. This is one of our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day. And Emmett, here's what Mort had to say on Mike and Mike.
I think about 90% that they've moved on in their own minds, except that they really don't know who they're going to get when Johnny leaves rehab. The bottom line is that Johnny Manziel's future with the Browns has been in question when they were putting together kind of most of their half of a new offensive staff. Manziel's name barely even came up in conversation.
So let me just say this. I don't know where Mort's getting this, the 90% part of it. I've talked to people in this organization repeatedly about this. All everybody is focused on, Mike Pettine has said it, Ray Farmer has said it, Jimmy Haslam has said it, all they're focused on is Johnny Manziel, the human being, getting well. And then they'll see what they've got with him when he comes out of rehab and how that's going to translate to Johnny Manziel, the football player. But everybody in this organization has said from day one, once he gets out, that he will get there's a place for him here. They have not 90% given up on him. In fact, I would say they have more belief in him now because he's taken this step to get himself right than they did before. Now they feel that they're going to get somebody who is going to get his personal life in order that it will allow him to be the professional and the player that they drafted. So I think that that report is false. From talking to people in this building today, it is false. And again, the words of Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer from the very beginning of this have said it's all about Johnny getting himself healthy. And when he comes back, he certainly will have a spot for him. They do hope that he will be out soon here in April and be back in time for April 20th and the start of OTAs.
Absolutely. And just to make another point and to reference a teammate, I was listening to the Really Big Show on my drive-in this morning, and they had Tony Grossi on, who in some cases is very pro-Browns, but is also very critical of the Browns. And the one thing that he said in reference to this interview by Chris Mortensen is the fact that it seems to be like a dated interview. Even though it just happened recently, the information that Chris Mortensen is referencing, you know, might have been from a frame of mind 30 to 60 days ago, you know, when rehab just started, where Johnny, you know, was when the Cleveland Browns really didn't know how to feel about Johnny Manziel because of the shock that he was going to be entering rehab for a period of time. And also, too, his availability to them, you know, for the April 20th OTAs and potentially training camp were in question. A lot of that has been solidified. And as you said, you know, reverberating throughout this building is the optimism in that Johnny will be rehabilitated as an individual, which then in turn will become the football player they hope he can become by being around his teammates, being around these coaches, and coached to the level with which they drafted him at in the first round.
And that is the hope for the Browns, and then they want to go ahead and get focused on this draft. And, you know, they want to get focused on these guys. Devontae Parker, again, being rumored to be somebody here to make a visit for the Cleveland Browns. That's somebody who's apparently in town and will be making a visit for the Browns in the next couple of days there. Again, the team hasn't confirmed any of those as well. Wanted to pass along a little news about wide receivers Brian Hartline, Andrew Hawkins. They'll participate in the NFL Business Management and Entrepreneurial Program April 6th to the 9th, the San Francisco campus of the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. So it's pretty cool talking about business plan development, and Hawk and Brian Hartline will be there. Hartline was also recently at a prom as well. Got a question on Twitter, and it was from Commando Yank. Was Justin Gilbert brought in for a pre-draft visit last year? If so, who missed the love of the game evaluation? We can ask Jim O'Neill this when he's here, but to my belief, he was not brought in for a pre-draft visit last year. I believe the Browns went and visited with him, as they are allowed to do, at his home, but I do not believe he was brought in for a pre-draft visit last year. I'm not sure about that, and that's something we can confirm with Jim O'Neill when the defensive coordinator of the Browns joins us at around 1:30.
Sure, and I mean, and in some cases, there's only, you know, 30 visits.
But sometimes if you have an idea that you really want somebody, right, you don't want to broadcast that.
Correct.
With the rumors, so you don't bring them in
and
visit.
And it seems like we did, moving up to, you know, and making the move that we did to acquire him.
Yes, moved up from 9 to 8. They gave up another pick just to be sure that they could get him, because at the time they were worried that the Lions might take him there at number 9, so they wanted to make sure they got in front of the Lions and did that to be sure that they got him. Or I think they traded to 9 with Buffalo. They thought the Lions at 10 were going to jump him to 8. That's what it was. So they had to get to 8, and then they went and got Justin Gilbert. So, yes, we can. That's a good question, and that's one that we will ask. Now, we might not get an answer on that. They don't have to confirm any of that stuff, but perhaps they will check that out. Also, got to give a shout-out to my man, Weimer19. He said, after 3 weekends of looking at this, I finally found it. Thanks for talking it up. You know what he's talking about?
I don't.
Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale. Get you some! Yes, yes. A lot of people, I would say I get as many tweets about Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale as I get about anything else. Have you yet tried it?
I have had some, but not since we
Get you some.
No, I have not. Some. I've had a swig of one maybe, you know, a few months ago.
It's delicious.
And you know what?
I don't even like beer.
I haven't drank in a couple weeks.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Just no reason to.
What happened? What happened?
Life.
What happened? No.
Nothing.
Something else happened. What happened?
No, I'm getting it right. Get it tight.
Did you get? Know? Did
I
you,
got Cancun coming did, up in 2 months,
did
bro.
You, did you? Did you turn into Frank the Tank or something? Did you get a little out of control?
No. It's just a quality of life choice that I'm making.
I don't believe you, for the record. I have a friend who stopped drinking like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, it's at least 5 years ago now. Nobody knows the whole story, but to me, there's got to be a story. You don't wake up one day and you're just like, I'm done drinking unless like a major
incident happens.
I'm
trying to see if I can go for 60 days without a drink.
Why?
Why not?
Why not's fine.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge.
When did you wake up and decide that you needed this challenge? That's what we're getting at. We're going to do a little cycle.
About 2 weeks ago.
All right. Lie down on the couch. What happened 2 weeks ago? Yeah. Or what was going on? Is that when you found out that you had twins on the way?
April Fool's.
That was April Fool's. Yes. Yeah. Is this an April Fool's joke, or are you just trying to extend April Fool's?
I haven't had a drink in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Not even a sip.
But you know what? I'm a sucker to peer pressure, and in the right environment, with the right people.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have any Tito's vodka.
Maybe we should
here
bring in some Kentucky studio bourbon barrel.
I'll have the Tito's vodka delivered to my house very soon.
Get you some. Emmett, have you ever had Kentucky bourbon barrel ale?
I have not.
Are you in a no drinking phase of your life right now?
I am not.
Well, then maybe you should.
Are you in a get above 200 pounds in your life phase?
I want to be at 200, and that's exactly where I'm at, but it's more beer belly than anything else.
It's not fit 200?
No, it's not a fit 200.
I'm a fit 200 right now. I'd like to be 210.
I can get you to 210, bro.
Yeah.
Stop drinking.
Stop drinking?
Yeah.
Why? Drinking is not keeping weight off of me. I'm very lean right now. I'm lean and mean. I can drink.
Yeah.
And I stay lean.
Pow. What is that?
Come on. Those are the guns. I got a license.
The pellet gun.
Please. Please. Anyway, Emmett, as it relates to Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale, let me tell you this. Get you some.
I will have to get me some then. I have to check that out.
There we go. All right. When we come back, let's get into it. 216-578-0850. What do you think about Mort's comments on Manziel? Again, as I said, organization's not leaking these things. That is, in every experience that I have with this team, not the case. They want him to get well, and they want him, of course, to come back, and a spot will be waiting for him to contribute to this team as soon as he is able. And again, it's not official, but the hope is that he will be ready to go April 20th at the OTAs. Gerd Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.